Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Live Up to Freedom Radio, hosted by Annie Cyrus.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Live Up to Freedom Radio. Do me a favor, share this radio wherever you're listening in from. Share it everywhere because I know I say it every week, but this one, everybody needs to hear every single word that will be discussed on this episode. So make sure to share this with everybody. And if you want to call in with any questions, you can do that today. The number to call in is 516-453-9075. Make sure to press 1 so I know you would like to come on air with a comment or a question. I want to say excited. I am excited on a personal level, but I wish it was under different circumstances. But I'm very excited to have with us today Laura Loomer. I'm pretty sure you all know of her. If you don't, you should definitely check her out, follow her. She's an investigative journalist. She's also the author of the upcoming book, Loomered, How I Became the Most Banned Woman in the World. You can pre-order the book now, and I'm sure she can give us more information on it. And she's also a congressional candidate in Florida. Hi, Laura.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always great to have you on because you do have great information, and you're kind of just like me. You don't filter it. You say it the way it is. So before we dive into the disaster of Afghanistan and it's being dragged into America, would you please give our audience a quick update and a view of what is happening with you, your case against CARE, and how they're trying to force you to give into the Islamization?
Right, yeah. So, you know, we're having an Islamification not only of our country, but of our judicial system. I mean, we've seen this also on the federal level with the election of self-proclaimed jihadists, people like Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. But now, unfortunately, our judiciary is succumbing to Islam. And I sued CARE 2 years ago in 2019 when it was reported by the Wall Street Journal that CARE lobbied Twitter to ban me when I was permanently banned in 2018 for criticizing and exposing Ilhan Omar, who, of course, CARE has financially endorsed and supported over the years. And so when I sued them for tortious interference, you know, the case has gone on for about 2 years or so, and ultimately what ended up happening is the case was dismissed. And then I appealed, and it went to the 11th Circuit, and then it was dismissed again. And now CARE has tried to get attorney's fees out of me. And so a federal magistrate weeks ago ruled in their favor and said that I have to give CARE, a designated Islamic terrorist organization that has been found to be supporting Hamas, $124,000 in their legal fees, despite the fact that their attorneys are in-house attorneys on salary. So, you know, I, one, don't have $124,000 because I sued CARE because they lobbied Twitter to ban me, which cost me 90% of my income since as an independent journalist and activist, I was making my money on Twitter. And two, even if I did have the money, I'm not going to give CARE, a terrorist organization, a six-figure, you know, so-called legal fee judgment so that they can continue funding Hamas.
To be honest, a few weeks ago when me and you, we covered this fully on a video, it was shocking. But today somehow it isn't, Laura. With what Biden administration directly did in Afghanistan, I'm so not shocked anymore of what is happening with you, even though 2 weeks ago I was very shocked. So I have promised not to talk too much because I really want to hear your thoughts. So tell me, how do you see this last week? How do you see it? How much of it do you think was misinformation? How much of it do you think was on purpose? How much do you think Biden administration played a direct role of where Afghanistan is today?
Well, look, I think that it would be disingenuous to blame Joe Biden for the entire situation in Afghanistan, because while he is directly responsible for the disastrous withdrawal of Afghanistan, this is a situation that has been taking place for 20 years over the span of multiple presidential administrations, right, from Bush to Obama to Trump to now Biden. So for four presidential administrations, this has been a bipartisan disaster, really. Really, it's a disaster, right? I don't think that we really ever should have been in Afghanistan to begin with. And, you know, with what Joe Biden did this last week, withdrawing weeks before the 20-year anniversary of 9/11, I mean, who advised him? Who advised him on that timing? I mean, if there was ever a time to withdraw from Afghanistan, which there was a plan, right? There was a plan, supposedly. I mean, even President Trump had been talking about this under his administration, to withdraw our troops from Afghanistan. The time to do it is not ahead of the 20-year anniversary, which marked the reason why the war on terror began with to begin with, right? The 20-year anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. And so now, what do you have? You have thousands of American citizens who are stranded. You have a Taliban takeover of Afghanistan. Afghanistan is no longer a sovereign nation as it was, several weeks ago, because Islamic terrorists have now come in through the Taliban and taken it over. And now it's called, I believe, what, the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, right? And so you have counterterrorism officials who have already indicated and stated that, you know, look, regardless of the name these Islamic terrorists like to call themselves, whether it's the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Hamas, right, at the end of the day, their ideology is all the same. And so you're going to see ISIS terrorists eventually, pour in. And through the interrogation of a lot of these Taliban terrorists who have now been released, right, the 5,000 that were released from the prison in Afghanistan, in Kabul this last week, a lot of them, when they were interrogated, they say, oh, yeah, I was previously ISIS, or, oh, I was previously, Al-Qaeda. I was previously, you know, whatever terrorist organization it may be, because as you know, right, as an expert on Islamic terrorism as well, it doesn't really matter which group they belong to, because their ultimate goal is the Ummah, right, the one world Islamic order. They want a Sharia compliance universe. They want Islamic caliphates all around the world, Annie. And this is what people need to understand. And unfortunately, we have had advisors over the last four presidential administrations that have decided to be woke. And it dates all the way back to President Bush. I mean, President Bush did not escape responsibility for this. I remember as a child, right? I'm 28 years old. So I was 8 years old in 9/11. I remember watching President George W. Bush on TV saying, Islam is a religion of peace. We are not at war with Islam. But the reality is we are at war with Islam, and it's not going to be until we have an administration who has the balls or the advisors with the intelligence to actually understand this and say it publicly. It's not going to be until the American people are actually taught the truth about Islam. Without these woke, politically correct lenses, right, that were implemented with George W. Bush and then the Obama-Biden administration, right, by creating this so-called Islamophobia or anti-Islamophobia campaign, as they like to call it. This is the problem, Annie. It's the political correctness and the unwillingness to have a truthful conversation about Islam that has gotten us in this situation and will ultimately be the reason why we have a 9/11 2.0 in the near future.
I could not possibly agree with you more. And yes, I agree. Every video, every live feed, anything I have done in last week, I have repeatedly say I am not and was never against withdrawing our troops from Afghanistan. I was one of those. To this day, I still want to have the answer to the question of, number one, why did we even go to Iraq? What did Iraq had anything to do with any of this? That's number one. Number two, what were we doing 20 years in Afghanistan? The joke that it is
well,
a joke.
Well, you can even make the argument. You could even make the argument, too, why did we go to Afghanistan? Yeah, sure. Okay, they allowed for Al-Qaeda terrorists to have a safe haven in Afghanistan, but if we were going to attack anybody, shouldn't we have attacked Saudi Arabia? I mean, really, this is a conversation that nobody wants to have, right? Because it's very inconvenient for politicians on both sides of the aisle because, you know, they say that Saudi Arabia is our ally in the hostilities against Iran. But, you know, for people who are ignorant and don't understand Islam, what they don't understand is, yeah, sure, the Saudis and the Iranians might be against each other right now, but ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend until the enemies unite for their overall plan of taking over the world and implementing an Islamic caliphate, right? And so I think people love to talk about, yes, we went to Afghanistan, yes, we went to Iraq, yes, we've had this 20-year war, but the Saudis who attacked us, okay, they have gotten off scot-free.
Oh,
and
even
that's a conversation
worse,
that
as
we
you
need
said,
to have.
It's a proven fact. There is a website. You can look it up, 911irancase.com. There is actual judgment that Iran, Islamic Republic of Iran, had everything to do with the attacks on September 11. Not only they got away with it, we gave them billions as a reward under Obama administration because we wanted to make friends with them.
But look, and this is the thing, directly after 9/11, okay, you had counterterrorism officials, you had CIA officials, you had the White House saying that Saudi Arabia was the number one global sponsor of terrorism. And now, all of a sudden, they want to say that the Iranians are the number one global sponsor of Islamic terrorism. And, you know, perhaps that is the case now, but also, you know, let's stop pretending as if Just because Iran may appear to be the bigger enemy to the United States of America and, you know, and to Israel and to, you know, to Western democracies, it doesn't mean that the Saudis are our friends. And so, you know,
absolutely,
this is something that I personally have a problem with. And look, I support President Trump. I support President Trump. I voted for President Trump. I was completely against the weapons deals that his administration engaged in with the Saudis. And here we are, you know, here we are now with this disaster in Afghanistan. But who has held the Saudi Arabians accountable? No one's held Saudi Arabia accountable. And we still have Saudis killing Americans on U.S. soil. I live in Florida. I'm running for Congress in Florida. And there were Saudi Arabians who are now still training. Can you believe this? We are still allowing for Saudi Arabians, even after 9/11, to get pilot training at our Air Force and our naval bases here in Florida. And last year, if you recall, several months ago in Pensacola, you had a Saudi Arabian national who opened, fired, and murdered several Americans at an air base. At an airbase in Pensacola, Florida. So, again, Saudi Arabia, okay, they attacked us. These are Saudi Arabian Islamic terrorists who attacked us. And Saudi Arabians have not been held accountable, and they are still killing American citizens on U.S. soil. And with regardless of whether we withdraw from Afghanistan, which we are, regardless of when this would have happened, whether it would have been, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or 10 years from now, the issue of Islamic terrorism is still going to exist, and you're never going to be able to implement this democracy or import democracy or civilize a group of people who are subjugated under an ideology that is hell-bent, okay, and exists for the purpose of conquering and subjugating non-Muslims. And that's why our military officials need to understand, and I just can't understand how ignorant so many of these military generals that we have in our country are to Islam. I mean, how is it that people like you and I know more about this than they do? And these are the people that are in charge of our military policy. It's shocking. It should be shocking to all Americans.
Well, but yeah, as you said, going back real quick, I agree. Iran, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Bahrain, Qatar, Pakistan, Afghanistan, any of them. At the end of the day, regardless of how they project or pretend to be, they all have the common goal of global caliphate. They want every breathing human to be Mohammedan. That's a proven fact. But as you said, yes, average Americans seem to not know about it or don't want to know about it because it's too scary to face. Last week, I had so many people actually say, well, this is happening in Afghanistan. I feel bad for the girls and women there, but it's their problem. They should fight for themselves. Yes, they should fight for themselves, but how do we expect them to fight for themselves when we accidentally, and I'm using air quote figure, left billions of weaponries in hands of Taliban?
How are they going to fight, though? How are they going to fight? I mean, look, this is what people need to understand. They say, oh, the Afghans are fighting. They are fighting. They say the Afghan people are fighting. Okay, maybe, but at the end of the day, these are practicing Muslims who understand that the legal code is Sharia. Okay, when you have a country where 90% of the people there are illiterate, okay, and their concept of legal code and their concept of humanity is Sharia law, of course you're going to have the Afghan military basically surrendering to the Taliban. Of course, okay, because at the end of the day, when you are a practicing Muslim, to be a good Muslim, and I'm saying, and you understand this as someone who grew up in Iran, okay, so you can testify to this, to be a good Muslim is to live your life according to the ways of Muhammad, okay? And for good Muslims, okay, extremism is anything that goes against the advancement of Islam. So anything that is anti-Dawah, anything that is anti-Sharia, okay? So when we say that we want to combat Islamic extremism, okay, that is not resonating the same way as it is in these Muslim-majority countries where the society is Sharia compliant. For them, countering extremism is countering those who are trying to work against Sharia. And that is what our military generals and the overall American public doesn't understand, because for years we've been brainwashed into thinking that Islam is a religion of peace. Okay, and this is why no amount of wars or, you know, no war, no amount of democratization or globalization in these Muslim majority countries is going to ever result in, you know, so-called peace in the Middle East. There will never be peace in the Middle East. There will never be democracy in the Middle East. There will never be civilization in these countries where the people are subjugated and ruled by the barbaric ideology under Sharia. And that's just the truth. It's ugly, but that's the truth.
And that's exactly why we need to butt out. Enough of us trying
exactly.
to. And
enough.
My biggest concern right now, all day, I've been screaming that why is the priority right now to help Afghans out of Afghanistan? Please don't get me wrong. I have literally cried at night for knowing what is happening to girls and women in Afghanistan. Yes, I have. But 600, 500, 200 of young age solo Afghan men being imported into America while our troops and our fellow Americans are trapped in Afghanistan is my biggest concern right now. Why can't we just butt out?
I think the Biden administration intentionally chose to do this right before the 20-year anniversary in such a disastrous way, because it also allows for them to create a new voter base, right? So if this would have been done, and I don't think, you know, anybody is arguing against withdrawal from Afghanistan. I support withdrawal from Afghanistan, but there's a time and a place to do it, and there's a strategy, and this was not the way to do it. I mean, this is a disaster. But now this also allows for the Democrats to have a new voting base, because they're just basically passing out blank green cards and blank embassy cards from the State Department to these Afghans, and I'm saying refugees, of course, in air quotes, because isn't it interesting how so many of these people are men of fighting age, and what about the women and the children who are actually the real victims, right? They're going to have refugee resettlement programs, and that's exactly what the Democrats are already pushing for. They're pushing for more Islamification in our country, and they're trying to put them in swing states. That's why Governor Kemp out of Georgia said, oh, well, I'll be happy to resettle Afghan refugees in Georgia. Yeah, well, you know, what are they going to say next? Arizona, Pennsylvania, Florida, okay, all the states that the Democrats want to take over. I mean, this is very sinister. And Joe Biden definitely has an agenda when it comes to, you know, Islamic refugee, and I use refugee in air quotes, okay, because if they were truly refugees and they're coming to this country, they're trying to escape Sharia, well then, you know, they should denounce it, right? They should denounce it instead of coming here and trying to practice it as well. I mean, if you really are a so-called refugee because you live under the oppressive ideology of Islam, why are you trying to come to America and practice Islam?
Exactly. And again, this morning, I believe 200-something refugees arrived in Virginia. And
Virginia's been taken over, too. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's literally the situation. By the way, I did see the reports on how they're handing out, you know, blank paperwork for anybody to just come in. And also, apparently, any Afghan refugee making it to the next location is undeportable. That is the interesting part, Laura. They are undeportable. Why? Why is there a law coming out to make sure we can't deport them in Europe or America? What's going to happen when one by one come out and we can prove that they belong to ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, Hamas, any of those groups? Then we can't deport them. What are we supposed to do with them? Keep them in prison?
Well, yeah.
Out of our tax?
Well, they're going to be coming across our border, too. What about the ones that that aren't getting paperwork who are now going to be crossing over our border, the 5,000 terrorists that escaped the prison and our borders are wide open? So America is down to be attacked. And look, we have an administration that really doesn't believe in deportation, right? They don't think that it's humane. They don't think that we should have immigration policy. They think that everybody's welcome here, right? Regardless of whether or not you believe in an ideology that is counter to Western civilization and American values, right? Despite the fact that Sharia is completely incompatible with our United States Constitution. So, look, you know, we have a walking Alzheimer's patient living in our White House right now. So I don't think they're really thinking about these hard questions, but a lot of Americans are thinking about the types of things that we're talking about right now. I don't think that Alzheimer's patients are capable of having thoughts like that, Annie.
I agree. And I think that's part of, again, you know, the whole impeach him. It's like, okay, let's say we impeach Biden. Then we're stuck with Madam President Harris. Why do people think that's any better? How is that supposed to be better?
It's not, but that's also part of the plan, you know? Kamala Harris is a Marxist, and as you know, this is a Marxist jihadi alliance. And like I said, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. You think that the Sharia-compliant Muslims are going to be on board with the progressive agenda? No, but they'll pretend like they are for now, like people like Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib are doing, so that they can advance the cause of Islam until the Muslims are in a position to eradicate the progressives. That's what is happening. People need to wake up.
Yeah, but I guess the hardest question on top of every other hard question is, how do we get people to wake up? Because honestly, I don't know how else to get them to realize everything. I mean, we can't get them to turn off their TV, apparently. They're glued to it. I have seen so many people sharing information from definitely lying channels out there. It's a spreading everywhere, and everybody's believing it. How do we get them? I know you're running for Congress, which, by the way, let's take a few minutes to tell our listeners about your campaign, where they can help you. Everything
yes.
you think they need to know, please do tell them, because I do believe one of the ways we can save our country is to have people like you running, being elected, and making a difference.
Well, yes, I appreciate that. Thank you. And people can go to my website, lauralumerforcongress.com. That's lauralumerforcongress.com, and they can donate. And whether it's, you know, $1, $5, $10, $100, whatever you can afford, every dollar helps. And, you know, you're right. We need people who are going to speak out about this, because Islam is a national security threat. It's a national security threat. And, you know, I thought that 9/11 was going to wake people up. But if 9/11 isn't enough, if watching people, 3,000 Americans burn to their death and be massacred by Islamic terrorists chanting Allahu Akbar, and people jumping from burning buildings to escape the fate of being crushed under burning steel buildings, you know, I don't know what's going to wake people up. Perhaps it's going to be another 9/11. I hope that doesn't have to be the case, but you know, people might not wake up until we have another 9/11, Annie. That's the unfortunate truth. You know, I think that there is an entire generation, especially a lot of these young, ignorant, progressive children who were not even, they are now old enough to vote, but they were not alive when 9/11 happened. There's the newest generation of voters were not even born when 9/11 happened. So how can you really understand the gravity of the situation if you were not even alive when 9/11 happened, you know? And so maybe it is going to take another 9/11 or some type of massive Islamic terrorist attack for these people who are too ignorant to the truth to wake up and understand what's going on. I hate to say it. It's awful, but it's the truth.
But here's something that I think about. I might be very, very wrong, but I feel like looking around, not even that's going to get people to wake up. It feels like they have normalized Islamic Jihad in America so much. I mean, you look back at September 11, 20 years ago, and then you look at the Islamic attack after that, until the last one, and you're like, people don't even react anymore. They're comfortably numb. It is so, it's like what Obama said. Let me be clear, Islam is part of America. It's like terrorism has become so normal. Jihad attacks are part of our life now.
It's part and parcel, right? It's like what Sadiq Khan said. It's just part and parcel of society. You're right. You're absolutely right. People just don't even flinch about it anymore. It's true. You're absolutely right.
It terrifies me to think that doesn't matter how much. I mean, I have been following you forever. I have watched your videos before they completely made you disappear from social media. I watched your confronting Rashida Tlaib. I watched you confronting Ilhan Omar. I have watched you confront every single one of them, and I read your pieces. And I do this. Well, I do it in a different way, but I try to do the same thing. We've been screaming on top of our lungs for years now, saying they're here, and nothing. So I hate to be that person who's always, you know, Debbie Downer is, I guess, the term, but I feel like this is it. They have literally programmed the mind of Americans, or at least majority of Americans, to, well, it is what it is. You know, as long as they're not blowing up my house, it's okay. You know, it wasn't my neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they've done with people like Ilhan Omar. You're right, with Rashida. Oh, it's okay if they're Holocaust deniers. It's okay if they support the Taliban. It's okay if they're, you know, supporting ISIS and Hamas and refusing to condemn Hamas and Hezbollah. It's okay. But, you know, God forbid you criticize the radical Muslims in Congress. You're an Islamophobe. But that's my point, is it's not okay. But people have been conditioned to think that it's okay because they're terrified of being called anti-Muslim or an Islamophobe. Because you see what they've been able to do to me. Look how much they've been able to destroy my life and my livelihood, you know? That's what they do when you speak out about this stuff, is they come after you and they try to ruin you. And so, of course, people are afraid. It's like what Phil Haney, you know, rest in peace, Phil Haney, of course, our friend Phil Haney, who mysteriously died last year. I mean, if you ask me, I think he was murdered. But he was exposing a lot of this stuff as well. And he wrote the book, See Something, Say Nothing. And he was, you know, one of the lead investigators, investigating the San Bernardino ISIS terrorist attack. And the neighbors even said, yeah, well, you know, like, we really did think that it was very bizarre that these Muslims were having all these, you know, radical-looking people come into their building with all these boxes. But we didn't want to say anything because we were worried the police were going to think we were racist. You know, and that's what happens, is people don't want to say anything. And he wrote this wonderful book that people should read, really. It's called See Something, Say Nothing. And you'll see how people are being conditioned under these progressive policies. And it's not even just progressive. I mean, George W. Bush started this. He started this when he said, we are not at war with Islam. We are at war with Islam. And it's not going to be until we have politicians with the balls to say that we make some progress in this country. We are at war with Islam. You know, try going to a country like France and tell them that they aren't at war with Islam, where you have the French military general saying that they might have a civil war because of the Islamist separatists, the jihadists, and the no-go zones who have taken over the country. Okay, Western civilization is at war with Islam. Not radical Islam, Islam. because there's no such thing. It's the same exact thing. And for anybody who says that there's a difference, they don't understand the truth about Islam. They don't understand. They've probably never read the Quran. They've probably never taken a counterterrorism class. And that's because we're not teaching this stuff. They're teaching things in school to children like Islam's the religion of peace, right? You have people on the news saying, oh, well, you know, we'll never have a Islamic takeover in this country. We'll never have Sharia law. We have Sharia law in this country. There are women being killed in honor killings in Michigan and New York and in Minnesota. We have Islamic terror camps. Linda Sarsour is tied to Siraj Wahaj, right? Whose son was training children to be jihadi school tutors at a compound in New Mexico. Okay, we have jihadi training camps in New York in towns called Islamburg. We have Sharia law here in America. This is not a conspiracy theory. People need to wake the hell up.
Yeah, and I just want to make one correction. You see, it's not that we're at war with Islam. It's the fact that Islam is at war with human society.
With us. Exactly. Yes.
Listen, they want to conquer us. They want to kill us. They want to shut us down. They come after us. September 11 wasn't, oh, poor Muslim. You remember how everybody was so worried about Muslim community seeing backlash? Nobody stood there and say, dear Muslim community, what are you going to do about the fact that your fellow Muslims reading the same Quran as you, following the same prophet without a prophecy as you, just killed 3,000 innocent people? If one single Muslim would have stand up and take our side, I would agree with all the narrative of moderate versus radical versus no, you're right. It's all Islam. Because not a single Muslim has decided.
There are some, but they don't have a large platform. You know, I ran for Congress, and I had a Muslim coalition. You know, I know the media doesn't want to talk about this, but I had Muslims who supported me and voted for me. But the reality is that they understand. These are Muslims who left Sharia-compliant countries, okay, where they force women to wear the hijabs and the burqas, and they're not doing that here. These are Muslims who admit that there is a problem with the ideology of Islam. But you're not going to have a Muslim reform movement when you have 2 billion Muslims and only a handful of Muslims saying, you know, there's a problem with our ideology. You know, so I am not saying that all Muslims are terrorists. You know, there are some reform Muslims, but the reality is there will never be a Muslim reform movement because the idea of Muslim reform is called apostasy, and the punishment for that in Islam is a death sentence. So why would Muslims around the world, even if they did want to reform their ideology, and I call it an ideology because it's not a religion, it's a political ideology, it's a political legal system, why would they want to reform that when they can be killed? You know, so there probably are a lot of Muslims who actually do. You know, in Iran, for example, there probably are a lot of Muslims. I know a lot of Muslim people, former Muslims who left Iran, and they're no longer Muslims because you're forced, right? But why would people want to speak out if they can be killed? So, you know, I think it's unfair to say that all Muslims, you know, are this way because there are a lot, and you know, being Iranian yourself, that there are, you know, underground societies of Jewish Iranians, the Zoroastrians, the Christians, because you, in an Islamic theocracy, there's no freedom of religion. And so you have to either pretend like you are a Muslim or practice your alternative faith or even atheism in secrecy. That's why there's no Islamic reform movement. For all of these, you know, delusional progressives and leftist Muslim activists here in America who want people to think that the way Muslims get to practice Islam here in America is the same as it is in Muslim majority Sharia compliant societies. It's not the same.
That's exactly the point. For example, as you brought up Iran, majority, I say over 75% of Iranians they don't even for a second want to have anything to do with Sharia. But yes, they're pretending to be Muslims. But that's the thing. They're pretending to be Muslims because they don't want to die, as you said. And that's the thing. The problem isn't just they kill you. They kill your entire family because if one of you is not a real Muslim, then the rest of you are not going to be accepted either. And again, I have said this to Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Linda Sarsour many times. Hey, if you love Sharia so much, why don't you go to the countries that are already conquered by full Sharia, live your life there and enjoy it. But then it goes back to, no, that's not going to happen because the global caliphate is the goal. And people seem to want to really keep on comparing, well, you know, Christianity versus Islam versus Judaism. And I say what you just said, well, Islam is not a religion. To compare it with other religions is ignorance. Don't do that. Stop saying, well, in the Old Testament, Bible said this. Old Testament, as you said. You cannot call Islam a religion when there's absolutely no touching it. In the Quran itself, it says if you question Allah, Muhammad, or the Quran, you shall be killed. You can't even question the whole topic, let alone reform it or change anything. Yes, we have those who are publicly, supposedly part of the reform movement, but they can all tell you they have as much bounties on their head as I have as an ex-Muslim.
Right. Yeah, and I'm not even a Muslim, and they've put fatwas on me. So you're right, and that's the thing, is that's why I get so annoyed when they say, oh, you're anti-Muslim, or you hate Muslims, or you're Islamophobic. No, I don't hate Muslim people. Okay, I do not like Islam as the ideology. And the reality is that most of the Muslims here in America would not be considered real Muslims. They're not real Muslims. They would not be considered real good Muslims in a, you know, traditional Muslim society, because their behaviors and their practices and the way that they like to practice Islam in their progressive Americanized way is not Sharia. And I'm not saying that all of them are like this, because there are a lot of Sharia-compliant Muslims living here in the United States, especially in places like Michigan and Minnesota. But I always laugh when I see these videos of, you know, well, I'm a lesbian, I'm a queer Muslim woman, and, you know, I like drinking, and I have tattoos, and, you know, eating cheesecake is my jihad. Like, it's just crazy, you know? I mean, Ilhan Omar is lucky that she was allowed into this country, and it's so laughable, and you're laughing about it because, you know what the punishment for that. You get stoned to death if you say those things as a woman in a Sharia-compliant society. And, you know, it's funny because I swear to God, Ilhan Omar is probably the only person in the world that has actually tempted me to actually want to experiment with Sharia courts here in America, because I would love for Ilhan Omar to be tried under Sharia for her crime of adultery. She's lucky. She should be kissing the ground of our country every single day and thanking us and kissing our asses every single day, you know, thanking God, not Allah, thanking God that she is not in Somalia, because cheating on her husband and being the adulteress, you know, fraudster that she is, the punishment for adultery under Sharia, you and I both know what that is. It's death by stoning. So maybe she ought to show some more appreciation for living here in America instead of talking about how awful it is, because if she were back in her country, she would be buried, you know, body first in the ground, head up, probably stoned to death. And you know it's the truth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One of my judgments from the government of Iran is the stoning. When I ran, it was considered, and I don't mean the name of the country, I ran as if I physically ran away from Iran. It was considered adultery because I escaped the man who purchased me from my father. To this day, if I ever go back to my motherland and they catch me, they will bury me to my chest, as you said, on the ground and stone me to death. Yes, not just that. I wrote a very short piece about it to say she wants to claim she even understands Islam or Sharia, and she goes in, try to put in blasphemy laws and all that, but she doesn't even understand her daily basis are anti-Sharia. The way she wears her hijab, the fact that she has nail polish, the fact that she has makeup, the fact that men are hearing her voice. All of those are punishable up to 95 lashes under Sharia.
Right, but Ilhan Omar is an agent of the Muslim Brotherhood, and so they allow her to get away with it under Sharia, because permissible lying is a concept in Islam, and Muslim women are allowed to violate tenets of Sharia while living in the West, is it's for the sake of advancing the cause of Islam and the greater good of ultimately implementing an Islamic caliphate. And that is why Ilhan Omar is allowed to pretend to be progressive and pro-trans and pro-gay and wear nail polish while wearing the hijab and, you know, serve as a representative in Congress, because her actions are advancing the cause of Islam. You know, and it's called the concept of permissible lying. Yeah, and that's what people need to understand.
Exactly. There are so many different angles there. As you said, I think everybody, at least on this specific radio episode, they can hear in both our voices the frustration of, come on, wake up. What more do you need to see? How much more evidence? How far have you buried your head in the sand that you're not even hearing the farthest or closest scream of all of us saying, wake up? And that's what kills me the most. I was born in 1983, Laura, and the Islamic invasion of my motherland took place in 1979. So I wasn't even born when all of this happened. And I was the one who paid the price. I ended up being a child bride. I ended up being a sex slave. I ended up being lashed. Because as my grandma, rest in peace, she always says that, honestly, we kept saying, oh, they're going to get tired and go home. They're going to get tired, they go home. They will calm down and go home, until they never did. They took the country. It was done and over with. And I paid the price for it. I don't know how to get Americans to understand. I have people like, oh, I'm so happy my life is almost over. Really? What about your daughters? What about your nieces, granddaughters, the next generation that's going to pay the price? As you said, a lot of people were, a lot of these brainwashed Americans, despoiled Americans, weren't even born on September 11th.
They were not alive. And honestly, if you were not alive during 9/11, and this might be a controversial statement, you have no right to accuse somebody of being an Islamophobe. If you didn't watch the images live on TV or in person, if you have not seen bodies splattered on the road in the aftermath of a terrorist attack like I have in New York City, when an ISIS terrorist mowed over 8 people in a bike lane and then got out of his car and proclaimed allegiance to ISIS, if you have not seen dead bodies on the ground or witnessed the horror or had friends who are murdered by Islamic terrorists like I have, you do not have the right to accuse somebody of being an Islamophobe. A phobia is an irrational fear, and it is not irrational to fear something that has proclaimed over and over and over again its desire to conquer you, subjugate you, and kill you if you do not comply. And so, you know, I will never apologize for anything that I've ever said about Islam. I will never apologize for my remarks or my proclamations against jihadists and informing people about this and saying that there's no such thing about Islamophobia, because this is the truth, and people need to wake up. Our lives are dependent on this. Our national security, the fate of our country, the fate of Western civilization is dependent on people waking up to the truth about Islam.
I completely agree with everything you said, and I'm going to top that with, Laura, I have people who look me in the eye in person and say, listen, just because you had a couple of bad experiences with your dad doesn't give you the right to be Islamophobe. And Lord knows it takes everything of me not to punch them right in the face. I just look at them like, I would love to know.
Iranian. Yeah, just because you're Iranian and you don't want to believe that the hijab is a choice, because in Iran women are getting beaten and sent to jail for 20 years for refusing to wear the hijab. Oh, just because you were raped and made into a sex slave under Islam, you know, doesn't mean that that's what all Muslims or all Islam is like. I mean, yeah, you know, it would take a lot of strength to not punch somebody like that in the face for saying that, because it's abhorrent. And that's the problem with you know, people like Linda Sarsour and these people on the Women's March, they made their logo a Muslim woman in a hijab. So are they going to go to Iran? Are they going to go to Afghanistan and go try to negotiate a deal with the Taliban to make sure that women don't have acid thrown in their face and that they're not subjugated and forced to wear the burqa and denied education? Since, you know, Linda Sarsour has said countless times again that hijab is a choice, right? I mean, the hypocrisy is just absolutely sickening. It's really disgusting. And I'm not Muslim, you know, and I didn't grow up in a Muslim country like you did, but I can only imagine how disgusting it is to be faced with people who say things like that to you, you know, knowing you as a friend and a colleague and the abuse that you were subjected to.
Exactly. And again, in a strange way, they make me want to give up, and then I see you, and I talk to you, and I follow your work, and I don't want to give up, because I see that there is a possibility someone who is not a Muslim, was not a Muslim, can still understand this danger. I have said this a few times in private gatherings that it is discouraging to watch how millions of people who were following you didn't lift a finger when you were banned. They didn't. You can't tell me millions of followers couldn't do something about it. They could, but they didn't. But it is encouraging to know that didn't stop you from doing what you do. You're still doing what you need to do. You're running for Congress, which actually, let's plug that website one more time. And really, everyone who's listening, $1, $1,000, $10,000, whatever you can afford, it's going to a good cause. It's going to someone who has proven that she's not afraid to face Rashida Tlaib in person and call her out. So that's a good cause. That's a cause you want to get behind right now. Give us your Congress website one more time, please.
Thanks. It's LauraLoomerForCongress.com. It's LauraLoomerForCongress.com. The legal limits, there are legal limits for how much a person can contribute. You have to be a United States citizen. But, you know, I need to get to Congress. And, of course, because I speak the truth about Islam and these threats, not only do I face opposition from the Democrat Party establishment, but also the Republican Party establishment, because people like Kevin McCarthy and Ronna McDaniel and, you know, the so-called Republican Party leadership, they don't want to speak the truth about Islam. They don't want to talk about these issues, because if they did, Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib would not be in Congress right now for their behavior. But, you know, everybody's too afraid. And so we need to start, you know, speaking up about this and protecting our country and, you know, reinforcing our national security, closing our border and screaming from the rooftops about the Islamification threat that our country is facing and Western civilization is facing. And so I really appreciate you having me on to talk about this. And, you know, I've said countless times over and over again, you know, one of the things that I want to do when I'm in Congress is I want to draft legislation to designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization, because so many of these so-called Muslim civil rights organizations like CARE, which is a terrorist organization, like to use their tax-deductive 501c3 status and proclamations that they're a civil rights organization for Muslim people, when really they're tied to groups like ISNA, right? The Islamic Society of North America, ICNA, the Islamic Council of North America, Muslim Brotherhood organizations that are subverting and infiltrating our government, educational, and media institutions to carry out civilization jihad. Okay, and if we have the Muslim Brotherhood designated as a terrorist organization, we can shut down all of these organizations. And CARE's largest branch is here in Florida. And so they think maybe that they've won the war by, you know, winning this judgment of $124,000 against me. I don't have the money, so the joke's on them. But I guarantee you I'll be getting the last laugh when I'm in Congress and they're designated.
Well, from your mouth to God's ears, because we need someone to do that. And I know for a fact you're the type who will do that. As I said, I have watched you and followed you for many years, and I know you always put your money where your mouth is. You said something earlier today that I kind of wanted to address, and I just want to put this out there. Laura Loomer has a bounty on her, not just because of what she's doing, not because she's coming out and saying Islam is the problem. No. She had a bounty put on her head at birth by Muslims because she's a Jew. Anybody who thinks this is a joke needs to listen to this. Under Sharia, there are many verses, many hadith that says a Jew shall be killed. But the one that should shake you to the core is the one where it says the last day, day of peace, the stones will talk and say, hey, Muslim, there's a Jew hiding behind me. Come and kill it. This is the level of hatred for Jews under Sharia. So anyone who thinks it's okay for Ilhan Omar to be anti-Semite, but not okay for Laura to come out and say these people want us all dead, you really need to go and study Sharia, read the Quran, get familiar with the Hadith, and then come back and pick the right side. Because I promise you, anyone who's out there trying to appease to Islam is not going to win at the end. You're on the wrong side right now. And we are at the point where we need to pick a side. There is no being rhino. You cannot be a conservative. You cannot be an American with American values who stands by any type of Islamization in America. So pick a side. Hopefully you pick the right side. On top of that, make sure to go check out Loomer's website, which is loomer.com. Check out her congressional website, Laura Loomer for Congress. And also, Laura, we have a few minutes left. Tell us about your upcoming book, where people can get it, and when is the release date?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me on and letting me talk about this. So I have a book coming out October 5th. It's available for pre-order right now. It's called Loomered, How I Became the Most Banned Woman in the World. And it's my story. It's an autobiography. And I talk about how, you know, I was banned for speaking the truth about Islam and the Islamification of our country. I talk about the deplatforming and cancel culture movement. And I also explain this concept called Silicon Sharia, which explains why the big tech social media companies have such an Islamophilic position, where they are in bed with these Muslim organizations, which we saw perfectly clear this last week when, you know, President Trump is banned from Twitter, but the Taliban spokespeople are allowed to have access, right? So, you know, you can learn all about it. I talk about my investigations and my work over the years and how what has happened to me can and will happen to you if cancel culture isn't put to an end. And, you know, I also talk a lot about how focusing on Islamic terrorism and anti-Semitism were the focus of many of my investigations. And so for people who are interested in learning more about Islam and its ties to big tech, it's tied to the Las Vegas shooting massacre, it's tied to the Women's March, you can read all about my book. And, you know, very informative. It's very educational. So I encourage people to read it.
I encourage people to do the same. Go pre-order. I have a feeling, not to jinx it, but Amazon is going to come after this book pretty quickly as soon as a couple of Islamists are going to put a bad review of it. Yeah, just get it quickly before Amazon comes after it. And please, I meant what I said. There are ways to spread Laura's message on our platforms. It's doable. So grab her stuff from her website and post it on platforms she's been banned from. I actually had people telling me when I posted my video with you, Laura, people were like, aren't you afraid they're going to ban you from Facebook? I said, no. It's okay if they do. If one of us don't have the platform, it's the duty of the rest of the team to still spread the message. So I'm asking all of my audience, do it. Go to Loomer's website, loomer.com. She's posting all the time. She's informing you. Grab her information, post it on your platforms, and if you're banned too, it's okay. It's better to be banned for spreading the truth than having a page that is blossoming every day because you're posting pictures of your yesterday food and vacation and kitties. I'm sorry, we don't have time for that. So go on her website, loomer.com. spread the message. Laurel, I am so very, very grateful for you coming on my radio and informing us, giving us your wisdom. And I hope we continue doing this. And if you ever need anything to get out there, you know how to get a hold of me.
Well, thank you so much. And keep up the good fight as well. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I really admire you for what you do as well.
I appreciate that. And please watch your back and stay safe as we get through this battle. And as Robert Spencer always says, it's not over until it's over, and it isn't over yet.
Yes, exactly. So, okay.
And to our audience,
well,
please stay
so
with
much.
Us until... Absolutely, my pleasure. And our lovely audience who stayed with us, thank you so much. Make sure to spread this radio episode, share it everywhere. Stay safe, stay vigilant, keep your eyes open. Make sure to go to liveuptofreedom.com for my updates on Afghanistan, which are coming out daily. Until next week, thank you so much for joining us, and goodbye.